Hello and welcome back. I'm Jojo Fraser. It's time for a Mojo Injection, episode 184. 184! Boom, bang, bosh, just like that. Get into the Mojo Den, the Mojo Cave, where we keep it real, we stay curious, we judge less, we live more. And yeah, I'm just sending you all the love. And my intention is that something that is said helps you in some way, helps you to wake up that mojo, or just make you feel like you're not alone, or give you a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of love, and good vibes. We all need a little bit of that. We need to spread it. What I've been reminded of the past couple of weeks, and I'll kind of expand on this in the talk next week, is just the power and the magic of being kind. The magic of being kind, and it can be unexpected how much of an impact that can have on others, right? We don't always know the impact we're having when we're being kind, but boy, sometimes you get that wake-up call and you're like, oh, kindness really matters. It really matters. It makes the world go round. It can change someone's world, completely change someone's world. So I hope you're being kind to yourself so that you can be kinder to others. Because, yeah, we need more of that in the world. And I'm just sending you all the love, all the love. I hope you've been having a good week. Hope you've been doing things that light you up, things that you enjoy, even if that means kind of going out of your comfort zone a little bit. I spoke on the blog this week about something that I had to give up for a while. Giving up, sometimes in life we have to give up something we love, even if it's good for us, right? And I spoke about my Monday morning mojo swims and how I had to give that up for a little while. And I probably could have gone back to it a bit sooner, but I was just being cautious. Early morning swims, taking medication the night before, was on quite a lot of medication at one point last year. And now I've got that down. I'm still on some meds, but nowhere near the dose I was on. So I didn't feel it was right to be, you know, driving out to the cold reservoir, and also just needing a bit more time to heal and going slower in the mornings. And that was one thing that I was like, I better pause for now. And it can be quite a lot to put your body through that, diving into the cold, but it's so, so good for us. But sometimes it's saying, right, when do you need to rest? If you've been through something, or you're trying new meds, or you've had trauma or whatever in life, sometimes you need to put those things on pause. So check that out at mummyjojo.com. But what I'm saying is, then there comes a point where you need to take that step back into happiness. You may have been not, but you need to take that step and that chance, because you, my friend, are freaking worth it. You're so worth it. And yeah, I just wanted to encourage you, and I want to sort of remind you what I was saying in the blog, that you deserve to do things, you know, that make you happy. And sometimes we can be nervous going back. You know, I was actually really nervous to go back to it, really back to that routine. I was nervous, but it was magic, and I knew it was the right time. It would have been easy for me to put it off, to stay in my little comfort zone bubble. But sometimes we just have to take the first step back to happiness. And it's done now. I can't wait to go back. I can't wait to build up my stamina in the cold again, because it fills me with joy. So if you've had a setback in life, I just want to encourage you to take that step back to happiness, whatever that means to you. And, you know, I've said this before on here, but it's easy to lose your confidence. And it can be easy to shy away from living, because we remember that life can really freaking hurt at times. But no pain should keep us locked away, and no pain should stop us from playing. So I want you to play. So let me introduce my guest for this week. We've got a guest. You're not just having to listen to me ramble on. So I have the lovely Anna McMahon, sorry if I've pronounced that wrong. I think that's how I would pronounce it. McMahon. Anna McMahon. She's got a lovely accent, as you will hear. So Anna is a psychologist. She also works for Enhanced Wellbeing, which is empowering teachers to reach their full potential in work and life with no-nonsense research-based coaching and wellbeing strategies. So yeah, she's an international teacher and wellbeing coach and psychologist. So lots of knowledge to bring to the table, lots of experience, and I ask Anna lots of questions about wellness, mental health, trends, patterns, and I love what she says towards the end of this about positive psychology. And often the people that are living with mental illnesses can show better levels of mental wellness, because it's like anything, right? You don't take it for granted. You have a scare, or you know that you're vulnerable. You can, there's hope there, right? Perhaps we write ourselves off if you've had a diagnosis. Perhaps you've had a diagnosis later on in life and you can write yourself off. Well, what's the point? I'm just wired this way. Or we make up these stories and we self-sabotage, and the mind can be really good for that. But this is a great encouragement that we can take some power back, and we have so much potential, and we have so much the ability to look after our wellness, and we all deserve that, right? We all deserve wellness, we all deserve happiness. So I'll bring Anne on now, and I'll put all her details in the show notes, and she also has a burnout quiz on her Instagram page, so I'll link to that so you can check her out. So on that note, guys, let's jump in, let's do it. Oh my love. Okay, Anna, so welcome to Time for a Mojo Injection.
Thank you so much for having me, Jojo.
It's lovely to have you. And first of all, a big well done for all the people you help. When you give a lot of yourself, it can be, and you're trying to juggle, parenthood and life. So yeah, massive well done to you, and pat on the back. I got thinking. Oh,
thank you.
Well, it's important to say, because often, when you give so much, and you probably have so many people asking for help and how they deal with burnout, or how they look after their mental health and their wellness. And often when you give so much, it can be hard, because not everyone asks about you and how you're doing. So I was wondering, self-compassion is such a huge part of wellness. And for me, I've had to, when you go through, I'd had a sort of relatively easy life, I'd say, until I hit 38 and I had my first proper mental health scare. And when you're recovering from any sort of trauma, be it a mental or physical or an emotional, such as a breakup or a grief, it can be a lot, and self-compassion is such a big part of that. What does self-compassion mean to you?
Yeah, you make such good points. Self-compassion really just, I think it starts with that awareness of yourself and being able to feel your emotions, first of all, and then just giving yourself time and energy, that compassion, and forgiving yourself the way that you would forgive a friend or a loved one. Mm-hmm. Allowing that space and that time and that safe space, really, to just be. Because I think sometimes we can be so hard on ourselves. We're harder on ourselves than we often are on the people in our lives, the people we love, the people we care about. And when we're being so hard on ourselves, it's really just whittling ourselves away. We're not leaving anything left. And self-compassion, it just starts with just giving yourself a break. And I always think sometimes it's easier to think of it in terms of how you would act and react with somebody that you loved. The things that we can say to ourselves can be so nasty and hard. And it's a line that I often use with my clients. How would you speak to a friend? How would you say that to somebody that you loved? Would you say that in the same way to your child, to your friend, to your partner? And oftentimes it's not.
Yeah, it's so important to remember that, because it can be so easy to get stuck into that negative cycle. I mean, what do you see as being the main issue today in terms of well-being? What is it, the busyness? Is it the pressure to be all on? Is it social media? Do you see kind of key patterns?
Yeah, I think there's several elements really. The first of all comes around comparison. And I suppose social media does have a part to play in that. There's comparison around the way that we look, the way that we behave, the lifestyles that we're having. And the problem, in a sense, that social media can create for people is that you're looking at it as if it is the full picture or if it's real. So, comparing yourself to what you see online can be draining and unhelpful because it's not a true picture. So you're comparing yourself to something that is not real. I think that's one element of it. Another, I suppose, big theme that I see affecting people's well-being is burnout. And again, it's this chasing a lifestyle or chasing an idea that leaves us in a constant fixed mindset about, oh, right, we're not good enough yet. We need the next thing. Is it buying a house? Is it having 100 grand in the bank? Is it making this salary? Is it getting this promotion? And there's a phenomenon called the hedonic treadmill that often we get stuck on. We're chasing the next big win, the next big thing, the next big aspect that's going to what we think bring us joy or make us happy, and it doesn't. So then we chase the next one. And that can lead to burnout. There's the expectations that we place on ourselves, and then there's the expectations of the companies and careers that we have also. It seemed to be, especially after COVID, the lines between work-life balance in some regards got blurred because people were working from home. We were giving ourselves a little bit more flexibility in the hours that we worked, which did have some benefits at times, but now it has also created this other aspect of there's no clear line sometimes between our workday and our home life. People have fallen out of routines. People are focusing again more on work and dropping healthy habits like taking care of your body, taking care of your mental health, giving time and energy to yourself. So these seem to be the common kind of themes that a lot of my clients come to me about, or the themes that we're often working around.
I think, you know, what you say about moving to the next thing, to the next thing, and it can be so easy. Perhaps you're a dreamer or you're goal orientated, and I guess there's nothing wrong with having ambitions and plans, because they can help to get us out of bed in the morning. But it's that, you know, that thing about seeing the joy in the journey of it all. So looking for the good in every day, right? What can we take from today that was really, really good, even though I'm really far away from a goal in my head that may even change, because you may get closer to that goal and then pivot to something else because it's not what you really want. And I think, how do we find joy in the journey?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's maybe one aspect of it. If it's constantly hedonia or hedonic pleasures, constantly joy that you're chasing, that can create issues because you don't have the other kind of meaningful aspects to your goals. So what I mean by that is the goals that you have set for yourself, what's the motivation behind them? Is there meaning within that goal? Is it about accomplishment? What's the purpose for you of that goal? Is it for that straight, constant hit of joy and excitement? Which again is not a bad thing, but if all of our goals are like that, then you're only getting one aspect of happiness and meaning in your life. You're getting no meaning really in your life. So that's often the times of when we look at our goals, or when we're setting goals for ourselves, we really need to be involved in this process of reflection and making determined, purposeful goals. Where we're having a lot of short-term, quick hits, that's where there is room for getting trapped on that hedonic treadmill that I talked about. And where, if you don't have a baseline of meaning and gratitude and happiness in your life, then it's almost like a drug. You are looking for those quick hits all the time. And it leaves you in a place of burnout.
Yeah. What would happiness mean to you?
Great question. Happiness to me is doing things that fulfill me and giving me purpose. I also like those hedonic pleasures. So spending quality time with my family, that gives meaning and purpose to my life. Working to create a balanced lifestyle for my family. There's a saying that I love, and it's not living to work, but working to live. And for me, with my, I find my work so meaningful, and I absolutely love what I do. I love being able to support people with their well-being. I love being able to teach and facilitate those practical strategies that people can bring into their lives every day. And that it brings me joy, but it gives me great meaning in my life also. And I love my work. And also, I keep boundaries within my work so that I have time for work and I have the energy for work. And also, I have time and energy for my family and the things that bring me meaning, like being able to travel. Having good conversations with friends and family, those deep, meaningful conversations, that makes me really happy. And for me, true happiness is a mix of those aspects: meaning, purpose, and joy.
Yeah, and I think travel is clearly a big thing to you. You know, you've moved away. What was the sort of incentive for that?
So I was one of those kids in school that I never knew what exactly what job I wanted. When, I always had friends who would say, "Oh, I want to be a teacher, and I want to be a doctor, and I want to do this, and I want to do that." And for me, I didn't know what job or career I wanted, but I always knew I wanted to travel. And I had people in my life who were travelers, and they would go and explore all these foreign lands and come back with all these great stories. And I just loved listening to them. I remember hearing about Vietnam for the first time. I'm going, "Someday I'm going to go there. Someday I'm going to do that." So that was always, and it was, I remember when I was in my early 20s, it was really an itch that I needed to scratch. I just knew when I had this really, really deep desire to go and travel. I thought it would be a 2-year thing, and 10 years later, here I am still doing it.
Wow.
Yeah, it really was one of those leaps of faith that just led me in a direction that I absolutely love.
Wow. What's the best thing about, where you live?
Where I live right now, probably the weather. So right now I'm living in Sri Lanka, and the weather is just fabulous. We have a great lifestyle in that we just spent the weekend at the beach. I love being able to get into the sea. Getting into the sea is just, it's almost meditative for me, being able to listen to the water. I just love it, absolutely love it. And I love that it's so accessible here and that it's nice and warm. I loved the sea in Ireland as well, but you probably had to put on several layers before you even got into the sea. But that fresh briskness is lovely too. Here in Sri Lanka, it's the sun on your back, it's the warm ocean.
That is lovely because I do a lot of the cold water immersion. I was at the beach at the weekend and it was lovely, but you just can't last that long. But
Yeah.
yes, where you are.
you can just sit there all day and not care in the world really. Well, you don't want to get burnt, I guess, but you've got that flexibility there, right? And yeah, travel, it just teaches you so much. It's just such an amazing thing to do. And you've kind of specialized in working with teachers, is that right? You're still doing that?
So I mean, the last couple of years I was and I still am, I still have a toe in corporate well-being and occupational well-being. But I started off as an international teacher, and my husband is an international teacher, my son will be taught by international teachers, and so many of my friends are international teachers. And I, through my own experience and the experience of the people around me, I know so much about the issues in teacher well-being, and I've always been compelled to help and be compelled to work in that field. When I was doing my dissertation as well, I did all my research on teacher well-being. So it's always something that has not just interest me, but also I'm passionate about it because it affects so many people and so many aspects of my life. And we see it globally that there are huge issues with burnout for teachers. International teachers then have different elements that affect their well-being, elements that don't affect normal teachers in state schools. So, for instance, with international teachers, you're moving your entire life for a job. You are unsettling the foundations of your everyday. You're living in a new country. You are moving into a new house. You're bringing your entire family with you. You're being involved in a new community. And there are so many of these aspects that can have an impact on your well-being, both positive or negative. And that's where I see schools and individuals needing support. So it's all of these aspects of international teacher well-being life that I support and that I help with.
That's awesome, because I think seeing the teachers have been striking here in Scotland, and you hear the parents, oh, I've gone through enough and more days off and more days off. But my mum was a teacher for many years, and she would always talk about the pressure, and things changed as well a lot. Now it seems there's a lot more homework for them, a lot more to take home, always on. And I mean, how what do you say to people who are struggling with the boundaries, who are struggling to say, no, I can't do anymore?
And that's a huge question in itself, because people that are struggling and suffering from burnout often feel hopeless, and they feel like that they're at the end of a very long, stressful road, and it can look like there are no options for help, but there's nothing you can do. You can feel very stuck in a place like that. First and foremost, I would say to look for help and support. And that can look different for every single teacher in every single school. Is your support from your leadership team? Is it your colleagues? Have you actually said to them, I'm struggling? Because admitting that you're struggling is not failure. In fact, admitting that you're struggling and you're finding this difficult is you advocating for yourself. Another aspect of it is even just to just build that self-awareness. When was the last time that you checked in with yourself? When was the last time that you actually asked yourself, am I happy? Am I enjoying my day today? Do I like my job? Is there something that I would change if I could? Because sometimes in these stressful, negative well-being spaces that we can be in, one of the first things that we can do is switch off and switch off our emotions, almost as a protective element in a sense, but it's not really protecting you. It's almost like a automatic response. Whereas it's going to lead to even more burnout. If you are not aware of the stressors or you don't start to be proactive and take action on what's going on, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. So look at yourself, start building self-awareness, start being reflective about it, ask for support. If there is not support within your school or your local authority, then you can look outside of that. And it's people like me, I work with individuals, I work with groups and schools. So and in fact, many of the one-to-ones that I work with at the moment are in that particular situation where they feel like they're not in a school where they have support, or they feel like they can't go to their leadership for support. So then they come to me. I work with other schools where the leadership have actually come to me and said, look, we want to work on this aspect of it. We want to be proactive about our well-being programs. And then I facilitate that with the schools as well. But it's a really difficult thing, I think, for anybody to feel like there's nowhere you can turn, to feel that hopelessness. And my dream and my goal is that nobody ever feels like that, that everybody knows you have somewhere to turn, that if you ask for help, you will get it.
It's so important, and some people do really find it hard to ask for help. Or, as you say, it's about that awareness. So it's keep going, keep going. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. I mean, what's the worst case scenario that you've seen who's, from someone who's just pushed it too much? Are they ending up in a hospital? What's the worst outcome if you just don't stop?
I mean, serious mental health ill, sorry, serious mental illness is where I have seen it end up, where people are depressed in highly anxious states. I have seen individuals hospitalized because of stress and burnout, people quitting their jobs and leaving the profession. And this is, research shows it, and especially if you look at teachers, teacher burnout is leading to people leaving the job. Now, oftentimes the research is done in terms of how it's affecting schools in a sense, all right? So teachers are leaving the jobs. It actually negatively affects student well-being as well. School performance goes down, and it ends up costing schools a lot more money because they're having to constantly replace these teachers. Now, that's one element of it. But if you look at the individuals themselves, the people that are actually affected by stress and burnout in teaching, look at those individuals. They're ending up physically and mentally unwell. Oftentimes, then they struggle to find other jobs or other professions because, you know what? At one stage, they loved being a teacher. They loved the meaning of that work. They loved working with students, but it's all these other elements that oftentimes are unnecessary that are forcing teachers out of the job. So then they're trying to fill a gap that they can't fill. They're trying to do meaningful work when they know what their meaningful work is. And it's you're caught between that difficult position of doing a job that you loved, but that's also making you unwell.
And you see people, I don't know if you've seen much with mania as well. It wasn't something I really knew about a few years ago, but you often hear people say manic, manic, and they speed up and they speed up, and then they actually go high and tip the balance in that way too. So it's not always just depression or anxiety, is it? It can sometimes be hard to spot in people because perhaps, like with mania, they're talking faster, they're elevated, they're, because they're just their brain's going a million miles an hour and they just can't stop, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I mean, with mental illness, it can manifest in so many different ways, and it can look different for everyone in a sense. So, I mean, if you are in any way prone to mental illness in the first place, something like being in constant chronic stress and then leading to burnout, you know, can trigger that mental illness for you. So, those elements of being being manic in a sense where it's like, yeah, it's hectic, it's manic busy, okay, you're stressed, you're leading to burnout. And potentially that mania that's been triggered from the burnout is a mental illness.
And it's scary, but I think what you're saying as well, if you're more likely, would you put that just down to genetics? So people would ask their family history and say, is there any mental illness in the family? Is that the sort of thing you should be looking at?
The genetic component to mental illness. And while being aware of it can be helpful and can help you to safeguard yourself, just being aware is not going to protect. Being aware is not going to completely protect you from becoming mentally ill. It involves being proactive and safeguarding yourself. It involves looking after your mental health. It involves building mental health. And also, it involves managing and treating mental illness as soon as it starts to rear its head. Okay. If you are suffering from depression or anxiety, or you're starting to see signs of mental illness, it is so important to go and talk to a medical professional and have it diagnosed. Because often, and we work with this in positive psychology about the dual continuum of mental health. And what it means is that you can have a mental illness, but you can also be mentally healthy. Okay? So mental illness does not mean that you're not mentally healthy in a sense, right? You can have a mental illness like depression, anxiety, mania, being bipolar, whatever. If you are actively managing and treating that mental illness, it gives you the space to also build your mental health and begin to work on your strengths and optimize. The field that I work in is positive psychology, and I do all of my work with this positive psychology approach. And that's the space really that we work on. So building your mental health as a protective factor for protecting against mental illness.
I like that. So you can have a mental illness, but also be mentally healthy. I think I've heard that in the past, and it's years ago, and it kind of stuck with me. So I'm glad you've said that, because there's stigma with mental illness, right? But actually, some people that live with a mental illness, they do a lot for their well-being, and they have that level of awareness there and positive psychology. I speak to some people and they're so negative all the time, and but they'll be like, no, I've never had a mental illness, I'm totally fine. But it's like, well, how's your wellness? Well, I'm fine. And I'm like, well, you're only looking at the negatives in the situation, and it can be hard to not take that personally. If you have people like that in your life, perhaps you've got a friend and she's like, why don't you phone me more? And you want to get defensive and you're like, do you know what I've got on, or whatever. But actually, when people say things, it's not always about you, it can be their stuff. So if they're in that negative mindset, it's almost like, is it an addiction to that sort of thought pattern? I don't know. You might know more about that.
I wouldn't say it's an addiction to that thought pattern. I think if you are in a negative space, and you are ruminating on negative thoughts, it is difficult to pull yourself out of that. It's difficult to pull yourself out of it on your own. Because I think, like that, the point that we touched on about just because you have a mental illness does not mean that you can't be mentally healthy. In the same way, just because you don't have a me mental illness does not mean that you are mentally healthy. And I often find that people who have had mental illness or have mental illness are better at building mental health because they have learned skills. They have sought treatment. They are working with coaches and psychologists, and they are active about treating their mental illness, which automatically impacts and benefits their mental health. Where it's, yeah, people that have never suffered a mental illness don't have those skills. They don't have that self-awareness. Not all the time, but this is just a trend that I see. They're not quite as good at prioritizing their well-being as people who have had mental illness.
Yeah, because you see it as a kind of right. It's like anything. If you have a scare with physical health, you may be more right, okay. Let's
Absolutely,
really nurture that. It's such a minefield. It's so
yeah.
interesting. I could talk to you about this all day, but we're almost out of time. So I want to thank you for that and sharing all of that. And I always ask people what their mojo song is. What song helps to give you a lift after a tough day?
I think anything by Lizzo.
Oh yeah, so good, right? My daughters
Oh, yeah.
kids daughter and son are massive fans. They're always singing it in the car, singing the songs. Oh, she's great. Well, thank you so much. Keep inspiring. I'll put all your details in the show notes. And have you got a favorite mantra for people or piece of advice or a book they can read or just something positive for them to take away?
There's a quote that I love, and I've used it from most of my adult life. Your pain is the cracking of the shell that curtails your understanding. And from that, it's when things are difficult and that pain that you're feeling, there is room for growth and there is room for developing understanding and learning something new and allowing you to be proactive. And that's how you grow.
No, I love that. Oh, that's so good. Well, thank you for that, Anna. Keep inspiring and helping, and it's amazing what you do. Thank you so much for sharing some of your wisdom with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed the chat.
Thank you. So get a little bit of Lizzo on. Great for twerking. You're special. You're special. Oh yeah, you're special. My kids love singing along to Lizzo. Plenty good songs you can get on there, but I thought I would pick out You're Special because sometimes we forget we're special. And there's a lot of people out there that don't think they're special. And that freaking makes me sad. But sometimes one little thing we can do, a little smile or a little act of kindness can remind them that they're special. So let's spread it. Let's get contagious with reminding people that they're special, that they're valuable, that they deserve wellness, and there's a support there. And as Anna says, talk, share. Don't let it get to breaking point. Share how you're feeling. Get it off your chest. All my love. All the love to you guys. So freaking much love.